call for public comment. My name is Alyssa Cooper, and I am the chair of the IANA Stewardship Transition Coordination Group, also known as the ICG. Presenting here with me today will be one of the ICG vice chairs, Patrick Falstrom. And we also have numerous ICG members who are present and who will be helping us to answer questions today. The webinar is being recorded and the chat sessions are being archived, so please keep that in mind. Live streaming audio in all six UN languages and Portuguese is available for this webinar. The details are available at a link provided in the Adobe Connect room in the session information window at the top. So please check that out if you want to follow along in another language. We're going to begin with about 45 minutes of presentation material, followed by about 45 minutes of question and answer. We ask that you please reserve your questions for the Q&A portion in the second half. If you are dialed into the audio lines, your microphones will be muted during the presentation portion. When we do get to the Q&A portion, we will accept questions either by audio or questions written into the chat. The instructions are in the session information pod in the Adobe Connect window, and we will go over them again when we get to the Q&A session. So with that, I think we can get going. Looking at our agenda for today, we'll be doing a brief overview of IANA and the IANA stewardship transition. We realize that not everyone has been following along in all the details, and not everyone is necessarily familiar with IANA and the surrounding institutions, so we'll be talking a little bit about that. Then we will go through the transition proposal, and I'll turn it over to Patrick to talk about some of the components of that. And then we'll talk about the questions that the ICG has set out for public comments, how to submit public comments, and then we'll open it up for Q&A. So to begin at the beginning, we thought it would be important to just set out a baseline of what the IANA functions actually are, in case not everyone is familiar with them. If we think about the way the Internet works, the technical functioning of the Internet relies on some databases, or in the parlance of IANA and ICANN, what we would call registries of unique numbers and names that all computers use to connect to each other on the Internet. So when your computer connects to the Internet, or when you surf the web or send email, the software on your computer is using these numbers and names to communicate with other computers that are also connected to the Internet. There are three main categories of these registries. One is domain names, or listed here as names. One is numbers, and one is protocol parameters. And we're going to talk about each of these in more detail later in the presentation so that you can understand what these registries are about and why they're important for the Internet's functioning. But what's important to understand here is that the administration of these different categories of registries is the act of administering the registries is what is known as the IANA functions. And this is really a set of administrative and clerical functions, basically the maintenance of these registries. The setting of policy about what goes into the registries is outside of the IANA functions. It's not part of what is encompassed when we talk about the IANA functions themselves. So if we look a little bit at the bigger picture in terms of how does IANA fit in with the roles of other entities in the ecosystem, we have to go back a little bit in time. We go back to 1998. The Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, also known as ICANN, was created to maintain the IANA registries under contract with the U.S. government. So ICANN actually has an internal department, which is known as IANA. And the government agency that holds the contract with ICANN is called the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, also known as NTIA. And luckily, we have acronyms for all of these things because they're a mouthful. So NTIA holds the contract and provides oversight over ICANN. Historically, NTIA's role has been one of stewardship and has been largely symbolic. It does not have an operational role. It does not initiate changes to any of the registries itself. It has primarily been in this role of stewardship. So that's briefly about the roles of many of the entities that you will hear about throughout the presentation. So then we come to the present day, or almost the present day. In March of 2014, NTIA announced the transition of its stewardship role to the global multi-stakeholder community. And NTIA asked ICANN to convene a process to develop a proposal for the transition. In making the announcement, NTIA set out a number of criteria and expectations that they expected to be met as part of the transition proposal. And the criteria were that the proposal needs to support and enhance the multi-stakeholder model, that it needs to maintain the security, stability, and resiliency of the Internet Domain Name System, also known as the DNS, that it must meet the needs and expectations of the global customers and partners of the IANA services, and that it must maintain the openness of the Internet. Furthermore, NTIA stated that the proposal must have broad community support and that it must not replace NTIA's role with a government-led or intergovernmental organization solution. So since March of 2014, the work that has gone into the transition proposal and that you will see presented here today has been geared towards creating a proposal that meets these criteria and expectations. If we look in more detail at the timeline, it's helpful to understand what is the proposal that is at issue here today. So NTIA's announcement was made in March of 2014. Following a consultation that was initiated by ICANN, the IANA Stewardship Transition Coordination Group, the ICG, was formed in July of last year. And the ICG is comprised of 30 members and two liaisons who represent a very broad array of stakeholders. And that includes stakeholders from what we call the operational communities. These are the communities that that exist around the different categories of IANA registries. So you'll hear people talk about the names community, the numbers community, the protocol parameters community. The ICG also includes members from a variety of other stakeholders, business, governments, user communities, and so forth. In September of 2014, the ICG issued a request for proposals that went out to the operational communities. And we asked the operational communities to develop a transition proposal component for the set of registries of interest to them. Since then, we have received the proposals from each of the operational communities, and the ICG has combined them into the single transition proposal that is now available for public comment. The public comment period, which opened last Friday on July 31st, is really just the next step in what has been a very long and vigorous process to develop the combined proposal. Each component from each community has already been subject to extensive public scrutiny, to lengthy mailing list discussions that have been conducted in public, to multiple public comment periods, to, I think, hundreds of conference calls, perhaps. Thus, the call for public comment that the ICG put out last week is focused on how the proposal components fit together. Do they really work as a combined proposal? And furthermore, do they meet the NTIA criteria? So we're not so much focused on the very nitty-gritty details of the individual proposals, as those have been rather thoroughly vetted already to date. Suggestions that we as the ICG may receive as part of the public comment period for substantive modifications to the operational community proposals will be referred back to those communities. So issues that have already been discussed in those communities are not going to be relitigated. We're really looking at the proposal as a whole. And we'll talk in more detail about the specific questions for public comment that the ICG is looking for feedback on at the end of the presentation. And with that, I will turn it over to Patrick Fahlstrom, who's going to talk about the names portion of the proposal.
Thank you very much, Alyssa, and I hope that everyone can hear me and that the concern, please.
We can hear you.
Okay, thank you very much. So if we start by looking at the names proposal, if we look at what the names proposal actually entail, we have to think about the complete namespace itself and the namespace that is used in what we normally call the DNS. We have the namespace is hierarchical, and at top we have something that we call the root. Below the root we have the various top-level domains, and under each one of the top-level domains, which are managed by various registries, we have the second-level domains or third-level domains or otherwise, depending on the policy in each one of the top-level domains, where the actual registrations can be made. But the interesting thing here is the in the names for the names operation community is the management of the coordination of this namespace, and specifically the coordination of the coordination of the domain name system itself. So if we look at the IANA functions that are related to names, we specifically look at various different kind of requests that the community members of the names community can request by IANA. They can specifically change all different kind of things regarding, for example, who is the operator, who are the contacts, what is the technical configuration, and what is the metadata. And for the actual operation, the most important thing, of course, has to do with the technical configuration, which says what are the name servers that are used for looking up domain names for each one of the top-level domains. But we cannot sort of forget, for example, the contact information for who is responsible for the top-level domain itself, which means that who is actually responsible, who are the contacts. So if we look a little bit more on the different kind of changes that can be made, what kind of functions are related to names, we have, for example, and this is just sort of a subset of the various requests that can be made, we have, for example, the change request management of the root zone itself for the Whois server for the root zone itself, for the top level where the information about the top level domains exists. We have various delegation and redelegation of TLDs when the top-level domain is changing from one administrator to another one, for example. And all of those are requests that are coming from the domain name holder, the TLD holder itself, or the registry. But we also have various operational issues which are managed by IANA itself. For example, we do run now something called DNSSEC, which is electronic signatures on the DNS information itself. And for the DNSSEC, the signatures to work, the root zone itself is signed. And for that to work, we need to have a key management system for the root zone. And that is also managed by IANA. It's also the case that the TLDs that have that use international top-level domains, which implies that you use other things than A to Z and 0 to 9 in the domain name, something, a standard that, by the way, you can blame me for, and call me if it is the case that I have complaints, and yes, I do get phone calls. But anyway, to be able to coordinate, for example, various TLDs that use the same language, it might be the case that, that there is interest that for the different TLDs to use the same kind of policy for what characters you are allowing for each one of the languages. So what IANA is doing is that they have a repository of the practices for international top-level domain for various languages. And that is something that IANA is managing as well. And then there are a number of other root zone-related activities which have to do with actual operations, which we don't have to go into the details here. But so one can summarize that IANA is doing a couple of things which are on request from the registries, and then there are a couple of things which are just what they have to do just because of the just because of operation itself. So if we look at the situation today, and if we only look at, if I remove everything that has to do with the operation itself, and we only look at the oversight, and this is really, really, really important, that to make these pictures that you see on the screen simpler, this is only about oversight. Please remember that. Under the current contract between NTIA and ICANN, NTI is the entity that do have the contract with ICANN that requires ICANN to have to operate the IANA function a certain way. First of all, the IANA function should be separated by ICANN, and that is displayed by the very, very, very small square down to the right, which is, say, IANA. And on top of that, IANA is also having the oversight. So certain operations, as stipulated in the contract itself, NTIA is the one that is the oversight for that, for those operations. So there are certain actions that the IANA function of ICANN cannot do without NTIA giving an explicit okay. There are other things which IANA is doing, the IANA functions of ICANN is doing, which NTIA is just looking for statistics and just ensuring that, that things are going all right. And there are other things, for example, that complaints and other things regarding IANA operations, if there are any, which there have been extremely few actually, which is kind of surprising, that actually go to NTIA as well. So that is the current contract. Given that the contract with NTIA is going away, the question then is how to handle the situation post-transition. And the question is not really, if I personally try to sort of look at what is the actual question that has gone to the multi-stakeholder community itself. It's not so much who is going to replace NTIA with the contract, it's more the contract is going away. What has to be done, if anything? And let me pause that a little bit and let people think. And when the CWG stewardship has been in ICANN, I've been thinking about this, what you see to the right, the post-transition situation, that is what their conclusion is. So their conclusion is that, and their suggestion is that we have ICANN, and instead of just having IANA as a sort of a function inside ICANN, their conclusion is that what is needed is a legal separation between ICANN and something that is called PTI or post-transition IANA. The post-transition IANA do have a board just like any organization, this contract with ICANN that stipulates what PTI is supposed to do. And the customers communicate with PTI and not with ICANN, which also means includes, of course, complaints on the operations. But the oversight is then not managed by ICANN so much as with PTI, because ICANN via the contract is requesting PTI to do whatever they are supposed to do. But for the oversight, we have two different functions, which I will which I will talk a little bit more in detail shortly. The IFR, the IANA function review, and the customer standing committee. And these two are looking at the customer standing committee is something that is looking at the day-to-day operation of IANA, while the IFR IANA function review team is looking at how ICANN and PTI is how the relationship between the two works. And specifically, there is a special IFR function which actually makes it possible for IFR to make a decision that PTI is to be completely separated from ICANN. Let me go to the next slide. So if you look at them one by one, if we look at the PTI, first of all, the mission for PTI is established to perform all the existing and also pre-transition IANA functions. So everything that the IANA function operator is doing, IANA function that ICANN is doing, all of that is done by PTI. So everything that IANA is doing, PTI is taking over. So operationally, it is very, very simple. If we then look at the next body, the CSC, the mission is established to ensure continued satisfactory performance of the IANA naming function. And this means that CSC is the body that takes care of and discusses day-to-day operations, complaints, whatever might actually occur. This is the day-to-day oversight over ICANN. The next body, the IFR, is established to provide periodic reviews of PTI's performance. So IFR is looking at the contract and ensuring that PTI is actually fulfilling everything that is described in the contract to satisfaction of the members of the IFR. The special strength and power that IFR has is that IFR can act if it is the case that a complete separation is needed before ICANN and between ICANN and the IANA function itself. So IFR the difference between the IFR and CSC is really that IFR is doing the periodic reviews while CSC is looking at is a standing committee that is looking at the performance itself from day-to-day operations. If we look at one thing that, of course, the people involved in this business knows about is that there are a number of things in specifically the CWG names or CWG stewardship proposal that is dependent on what is done in the CWG accountability. And from an ICG perspective, the various dependencies that we see are listed on the slide itself. It has to do with the rights regarding the budget. It has to do with the rights regarding the ICANN board and the ability to appoint and remove members and to recall the entire board if it is the case that ICANN board has the party that contracts the PTI. It is related to the IANA functions review that is to be incorporated into the ICANN bylaws. It is the CSC and also the IFR that also has to be incorporated into the bylaws. It is the empowerment of the special IFR and many other accountability issues that simply have to be incorporated into the accountability mechanism. Because as you understand, both the IFR and CSC have to do with accountability. And because of that, many of the issues related to the accountability, which actually is where these bodies are kicked in and operational, and their power and their ability to act, and also the requirement for ICANN to act on requests from these bodies are actually dealt with very much in dependency with the accountability proposal. So many of these kind of changes, which is kind of important to remember, is that many of these mechanisms are to be provided in something that is called in ICANN bylaws as fundamental bylaws as compared to the bylaws. And the difference between the two is the fundamental bylaws are much harder, for example, much harder to change than the bylaws themselves. So of course, there's a big question how the public comment period for the ICG is synchronized with the CCWG and the public comment period. And first of all, in the ICG comment period, which we are dealing with now on this webinar, we do request people to look at the questions, first of all, as if all of these dependencies were resolved. Okay, and this is something that is really important to make clear. Please respond to the questions as if these requirements and dependencies were resolved in a positive way. If it is the case that you would like to give comments, which is about the dependencies themselves, can you please make it really, really, really clear that what kind of things are actually have to do with the dependency itself, and what things have to do with the actual ICG documents? But it's important for us to be able to evaluate the responses. If you move to the numbers, in the numbers proposal, it is, of course, a little bit different. So, if we look at where the IANA functions are related to numbers, IANA functions are allocating the blocks of IP addresses, IPv4 and IPv6, and AS numbers to the regional registries. And to start with, of course, the various overarching allocation of the blocks and autonomous system numbers are done by the Internet Engineering Task Force, IETF. But the IETF releases numbers for IANA to in turn release to the RARs. So when the RARs require more address space, they go to IANA and request the address space. The policy for how this is allocated is developed by the RARs themselves and managed by the ASO in ICANN. So there are also, of course, some DNS-related special purpose zones, for example, the lookup of host names based on the IP address, and that is something that is also IANA is running. So, for example, if it is the case that an RAR is getting an IP address block, the actual DNS-related issues that have to be changed based on that allocation is also managed by IANA. If we look at the situation to the left, which is the current situation, it is in fact the case that NTIA do have a contract and also an oversight of all of the IANA functions and reviews the functions, reviews the performance. IANA is then doing all the numbering services and allocates the address space and hands it out to RARs and also AS numbers and also manages the WIF, like I mentioned before. In the post-transition, when NTIA is going away, there are a couple of things which are changing. And there are specifically three, which we have mentioned below. The first thing is that to notice is that ICANN is to continue as the IANA function operator, just like today, with the IP address and AS numbers and others, DNS and all other kind of things that IANA is doing. The difference, though, is that there is a service-level agreement with the RARs. So the RARs is to come up with a service-level agreement with ICANN. The second thing has to do with the intellectual property rights. And it's really important from the RAR perspective that the intellectual property rights provision of the IANA services reside with the community. So the ability, for example, to use various IP addresses and other kind of things, is to be in the public. The third thing that is added by the RARs or CRISP, which is the name of the group that the RARs created to develop this proposal, is that a review committee is to be created. Because when the NTA is removed, they can review the performance. Something is needed to actually make sure that IANA is doing what it's supposed to do. So what is done, what is suggested, is to create a review committee with representatives from each one of the RAR communities, and that advises the RARs on the IANA functions operator's performance, and of course matched with the service level agreement that is already agreed upon. If we look at the review committee and how that is set up, we can have a look at this. Let me try to scroll correctly here. The situation, the proposal is like this, that you have the various RARs that have each one, the five RARs, and each one of them have their bottom-up multi-stakeholder process. And what they're doing is that they are reviewing the performance, and the RARs then also have representatives from each one of the five RARs that form the community-based review committee. The review committee itself is then giving advice on or receiving advice on what the performance and how that should be measured. And the review committee is then reviewing the performance of the IANA function of ICANN. So this is something new, but on the other hand, it's something new, but also not new, because the RIRs together already creates various different kind of groups like the ASL inside ICANN to handle the coordination. It's also the case that policies are managed in a coordinated way between the RIRs, and you also have, for example, CRISP that created this proposal, which is in coordination between the RIRs. So yes, it is a new body, but it's not something really, really new. It's not something surprising. So if we look at the service level agreement principles, this is also something that is not surprising to people that have been working with SLAs in the information technology realm, that you have various different kind of requirements that are listed, which are important to ensure that they are living up to, for example, descriptional services, security performance and audit requirements, review the operations, continuity, fees, resolution of disputes, etc. And all of these things are things that must be and will be listed in the SLA itself. The next thing which has been discussed, and some of you know, it's discussed quite a lot at the moment, has to do with intellectual property. And it is the expectation by the RIRs, by CRISP, that the number of resource registries are in the public domain, that non-public information related to them be managed by IANA operator and transition to a successor if needed. And this is really important regarding the transition. It's also the case that they request the rights of non-public information related to them to be transferred to the RIRs. They go a little bit step further here and say that the preference is that the ownership of the IANA trademark and domain be transferred to the IETF Trust. The IETF Trust is something that is a specific organization that holds some IPR related to the Internet Engineering Task Force and the RIRs through the CRISP process came to the conclusion and suggesting that the ownership and all IPRs is moved to that trust, where also the ITF has some of their trust, or possibly all of them. It's also the case that, of course, that the CRISP team came to the conclusion, of course, that all relevant parties must agree to these expectations as part of the transition. It has been a lot of work within the RIRs to come to the conclusion that the IPR and domain name issues is something that needs to be resolved, and this is where we have a very specific proposal. And with that, I would like to hand back to Alyssa to talk about the protocol parameters.
Thank you, Patrick. So we have one more component of this proposal, and that's the protocol parameters. To understand the protocol parameters proposal, we first need to understand what is a protocol and what is a protocol parameter. So on the internet, protocols are standardized patterns of communication that computers use to be able to talk to each other. So the ones that you may have heard of include HTTP or IP. Those are very common ones. And when we're using protocols on the internet, or when we're designing protocols, we often need numbers or values to be chosen and published so that two different computers using the same protocol can communicate and understand each other. And the example of one that you may have encountered yourself is if you've ever visited a website and received one of those 404 page not found errors, that number 404 is a protocol parameter. It's a number that has been chosen and published that allows my computer when I'm visiting a website and the website when it's trying to send content back to me to tell me that there has been an error and that the page is not found. So that's just an example to illustrate. As Patrick mentioned, the Internet Engineering Task Force is a standards development organization where many of the most important protocols that make the Internet work were developed, and as a result, we consider the IETF to be the operational community of interest related to the protocol parameters. The protocol parameters are published on the web on the IANA website. There are more than 10,000 registries, and they contain hundreds of thousands of protocol parameters. And the last important thing to understand about protocol parameters is that they are not referenced in real time generally from the IANA website. They are referenced by software developers and other engineers who are, when they're in the process of building software, need to code a particular value into their implementations. So that's what protocol parameters are themselves. Now if we look at the oversight model for the protocol parameters registries, again, we have to go back in time. So the IETF has had an agreement with ICANN. The IETF has had an agreement with ICANN going back more than 15 years that governs the relationship between IANA and the IETF, and that agreement is known as the Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU. Within the IETF, there's, or adjacent to it, there is a leadership body known as the Internet Architecture Board that provides oversight to ensure that that relationship between IETF and IANA remains healthy and that the MOU is being executed as appropriate. The MOU has been supplemented over the years by service-level agreements that get updated on a continual basis. And those service-level agreements establish performance targets for IANA to meet. And there are IETF participants who provide the oversight to ensure that IANA is meeting those performance targets. So if we look at the difference between that state of affairs, which has been in existence for many years, and what we would view in the post-transition phase, there's not a lot of difference. You can see in the visual, under the current contract, NTIA has its contract with ICANN, and in the post-transition phase, it will no longer have that contract. But it's the opinion of the IETF community that no new organizations or structures are required as a result, and that over the years, since the creation of ICANN, the IETF and ICANN and the IAB have together created a system of agreements, policies, and oversight mechanisms that already cover what is needed for the transition. This system has worked well without any operational involvement from NTIA. The IETF also expects that the IANA protocol parameters registries updates will continue to function day to day, just as they have been doing for the last decade or more. And the IETF community is very satisfied with the current arrangements with ICANN. So that is, in a nutshell, what the IETF is proposing, no new organizations or structures. However, in the absence of the NTIA contract, the IETF did state in its proposal that a few new arrangements may be needed in order to ensure that the IETF community's expectations continue to be met. And those expectations are, first, that the protocol parameters registries are in the public domain, and that all relevant parties acknowledge that fact as part of the transition. And then second, it's possible that in the future, the operation of the protocol parameters registries may be transitioned from ICANN to some subsequent operator. And in that case, it's the preference of the IETF community that ICANN acknowledge that it will continue to carry out obligations that are currently spelled out in the NTIA contract, that has to do with achieving a smooth transition to subsequent operators should the need arise. Furthermore, in the event that a transition occurs away from ICANN, it's the IETF's expectation that subsequent operators will work together to minimize disruption in the use of the protocol parameters registries. So those are a couple of further expectations that the IETF community spelled out in terms of, you know, potential future scenarios. And with that, we have covered all three of the components of the proposal and wanted to take a look at how they all work together. So this slide and this graphic is also included in the proposal itself. This shows the oversight components in the combined proposal. So again, the operational interactions between the communities and the IANA functions operator are not pictured. Only what is pictured here are the oversight components. And this basically brings together the three diagrams that you've seen throughout the presentation. So just to briefly review, what the combined proposal puts forth is that ICANN would have established the post-transition IANA, the PTI, as an affiliate, or also known as a subsidiary, with legal separation from ICANN. ICANN would subcontract the IANA functions out to the PTI. Looking at the names portion on the right side, this would include escalation paths for complaints from customers up through the customer standing committee, which would be providing oversight over the day-to-day performance. And then you would have the IFR for periodic review of the overall performance of the names functions. Looking at the numbers community on top, the numbers, the RIRs would establish their SLA with ICANN, as Patrick described, and the review committee would be created to monitor performance and provide advice to the RIRs. And then finally, on the left side, in the protocol parameters section, the IETF would maintain its MOU with ICANN and would continue its current activities to monitor the performance of the protocol parameters function. So that is how all of the components come together in the combined proposal. So moving on to the questions for public comment. What the ICG is going for in terms of having a public comment period is both breadth and depth. We're really looking for a variety of commenters to provide their input into this process. Those may include people who have been participating in the process all along and those who may not have. But we really want to understand, you know, from as broad a perspective as possible, what people think of the proposal. So that's the breadth part. But we're also interested in depth. We want to know not only what your opinions are of the proposal, but why you hold those opinions. And so you'll see, not in the slide deck, but in the specific questions that we've put out for public comment, you'll see us asking a question, and then we'll say, if your answer is yes, please explain why. If your answer is no, please explain why not, and what modifications you might suggest to rectify the issue in the proposal. So we really want to understand fully the rationales that people have provided for their comments. I will also just reiterate something that Patrick said, which is that there are two parallel public comment processes happening right now. Ours is about the transition proposal, and there's a separate one about the proposal to enhance ICANN's accountability. And so if your comments are about ICANN accountability, they should be directed to the other process. If they are about the transition proposal, they should be directed to this process. And our secretariat can provide the link to the accountability public comment if people need it. So just stepping through quickly in terms of the questions that we've asked, we haven't put them all on the slide, but the key ones are covered here. So the first set of questions is about the proposal as a whole. We've asked, is the combined proposal complete? Do the operational community proposals work together as a single proposal? Do they include appropriate and properly supported independent accountability mechanisms for running the IANA functions? And we ask about workability and whether the results of workability evaluations included in the proposals conflicted with each other or raise possible concerns when considered in combination. So that's the set of questions about the proposal as a whole. Then we also asked a set of questions about the NTIA criteria. And it's very important for us from an ICG perspective to understand whether the community of commenters believes that the criteria have been met. So we asked a question about each of the criteria and expectations, whether the proposal supports and enhances the multi-stakeholder model, whether it maintains the security, stability, and resiliency of the DNS, whether people believe that the proposal meets the needs and expectations of the global customers and partners of the IANA services, and in particular, if we're hearing from some of those customers and partners, we'd like for you to identify that you are one of those people. We'd like to know if you think the proposal maintains the openness of the Internet, if you have any concerns that it's replacing NTIA's role with a government-led or intergovernmental solution, and if you believe the implementation of the proposal will continue to uphold the NTIA criteria as we go on into the future. So that's a summary of the questions that the ICG has for the community of commenters. If you want to submit comments, we are accepting comments until September 8th at 2359 UTC. We have our website set up for public comments. You can go visit it. It has more information about the proposal, and also it has instructions for how to submit public comments. We have two options for how people can submit comments. We have a web form for people to provide structured input with boxes to answer each of those questions. We also have an email submission option for people who would like to provide free form input or who do not want to use the web form. We have produced a Word template that also includes the questions in case people want to submit that by email. When submitting by either option, commenters will receive a confirmation email and they will need to click a link in order for their comment to be posted to the public archive. And all comments will be publicly archived. So that's how to submit comments. And I think with that, we are ready for the question and answer portion. So I think we have people who have been keeping track of the questions a little bit, but let me just reiterate how we are going to take questions. So you have two options if you want to ask a question during the webinar. One option is via audio. You can raise your hand using the raise hand functionality in Adobe Connect, and there's a button to do that across the top bar of Adobe Connect, and we'll take your question via audio. You can also type your question into the chat box. If you have a question that you want us to respond to by a voice as opposed to just chat in the chat window, then please preface it by using uppercase question in angled brackets and ending it with / uppercase question in angled brackets. The instructions are in the session information in the Adobe Connect. But we'll take questions from either way. If you are dialed into one of the non-English bridges, you can ask a question on your line, and it will be interpreted and read or spoken aloud on the English line and answered in English. So you have that option as well. And with that, I think we are ready to take questions, so feel free to raise your hand if you have one or put one in the chat. And I think I see that we have had a couple of questions already put into the chat. So the first question that I see is from Chip Sharp. Is that correct, Secretariat? Is the first question from Chip Sharp? I think so. Yes, okay. So the first question is, how will the global policy development process, if at all, for numbers, change post-transition? And I believe we have Alan Barrett on the call from the numbers community. Alan, are you able to answer that question?
Yes, this is Alan Barrett. I can answer that question. The global policy development process for the numbers community will not change at all. It will continue as it is today with global policies being discussed in the five RIRs and them all reaching agreement on common text and then it being ratified by the ICANN board. There are a few more details to it, but that's the essential process and it will not change at all.
Great. Thank you, Alan. We had another question for you, I think, from Chip Sharp, which was, will the RIR's SLA be with ICANN or with PTI?
Okay, Alan Barrett again. The RIR's SLA will be with ICANN, not with the PTI, and we'll make sure that ICANN has the right to subcontract the actual work to PTI, but ICANN will be responsible for ensuring compliance with the terms of the SLA.
Thank you, Alan. Are there other questions that people want to raise either in the chat or with the hand raised in the audio? Well, I think Patrick and I have just summarized a 199-page proposal in a short amount of slides. Okay, I see that we have a question coming in. So I will take the question from Bob. And I should have said at the beginning, please identify yourself when making an intervention if possible. So the question from Bob is, has the ICG looked at how the money would flow? That is, who pays for the PT IANA and how the money flows? Money can have a controlling effect. And that is the end of the question. So I will give just a brief answer, but if folks who have been involved in the NAMES community, perhaps Wolf Ulrich or Keith Drazik, if you want to add on after this, please feel free. The ICG itself, obviously only looked specifically at whatever was provided in the operational community proposals. There is a discussion of the IANA budget in the NAMES community proposal. So to the extent that there are provisions in the NAMES community proposal that create accountability requirements in terms of empowering the community to, empowering the community to be able to consider the IANA budget. We certainly reviewed that portion of the proposal, but that, I think, was about the extent to which we looked at budgetary matters. Are there ICG folks who would like to add on to that? Okay, and I see in the chat that, I'm going to read aloud answers because we want to make sure that we have an audio transcript of all the questions and answers. So I see Keith Drazik also responding to the question from Bob. There are no current fees or payments associated with the performance of the IANA functions. and there are no new fees or payments anticipated. Okay, so I think we can move on to our next question, which is from Avri Doria. And the question is, will the ICG have a role in resolving pending issues like the disposition of the IANA domain name and various marks? Good question, Avri. So as we have set out in the proposal itself, and I think as Patrick mentioned, we have one of the communities has established requirements as they relate to the intellectual property related to IANA, and that's the numbers community. The numbers community has proposed that the trademarks and domain name be transferred to an entity that is not the IANA functions operator and has suggested the IETF trust. The other two proposals are silent on this topic. So effectively, when the ICG did its analysis of the three proposals together, we didn't find any incompatibilities because we had just a single community that had expressed any requirements around the IANA IPR. So at this point, we consider it to be an implementation issue. Now, if in the intervening time, and if as part of the public comment period, we come to find out that the proposal on the table, which is the one from the numbers community, is viewed as not workable by any of the other communities or by public commenters, then I think it is certainly a topic that we will need to address in our analysis of the proposal and the public comments. So I think we certainly do continue to have a role in terms of ensuring that the proposal as it stands has broad public support and also in helping the communities to coordinate with each other as we have been doing all along. Any other ICG members want to speak to that topic? Okay, yes, Audrey, I can confirm that the numbers proposal is the reference solution. So I do not see any further hands raised or questions in the chat. Okay, I understand from the tech folks that we may have had a participant on the French line with a question. So let us await and see if we get the question from the French line. If the French interpreter is ready with a question, feel free. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. French interpreter here interpreting for the French speaker. Okay, he's not saying anything. I apologize. Okay, no questions from the French. Sorry about that.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. Any other questions, either in the chat or via audio? I see there's a lively chat going on in the chat window, but I haven't seen a specific question posed for audible response. Daniel Karenberg, go ahead. Daniel Karenberg, did you have your hand up? I thought I saw it up. Daniel, you might need to try one more time. Okay, if the tech folks can try to resolve the audio issues, that would be good. I don't believe that we have any other questions in the meantime, however. Should we try again with Daniel? Can we hear you, Daniel? Are you speaking? Apparently not. Well, feel free to type a question into the chat if you so choose. So we're still trying to resolve some of these audio issues and waiting for people to perhaps type their questions into the chat. Are there any other questions from people? Either raise your hand in Adobe Connect or preface your question with the word question. Okay, so I now see Daniel's question, which is, has the ICG noted that any of the other operational communities have taken note or made statements about the IPR solution proposed by the RIRs? So again, I'll give a opening, and if other ICG members want to chime in, then please feel free. After we received the IETF and RIR proposals some months ago, We did inquire with both of them whether they felt that their proposals were mutually compatible on that point. And they responded in the affirmative. That is, because although the IETF had not expressed an opinion on this topic, they did not believe their proposal was incompatible with the numbers proposal. And in the meantime, the IETF Trust also expressed its willingness to hold the IPR, as was suggested by the numbers proposal. And the IETF community expressed its willingness to have the trust do that. So that was in the first round of communication back and forth between the ICG and the communities about this topic. We also, upon receiving the NAMES proposal, inquired about a similar question and got confirmation from the NAMES community that their proposal was indeed silent on the issue, but that they are now in the process of formulating a position on the topic with the understanding that the current combined proposal essentially is represented by the numbers community, since their proposal is the only one that speaks to this issue. Do other people from the ICG want to add on to that? Okay, hearing none and seeing no further hands, we can go to the next question. Sorry, I was going to move on to Avery's question. Does that seem correct? Okay. Question from Avery. Has the IETF Trust been asked whether it is willing to widen its fiduciary responsibility beyond the IETF? If I understand the question correctly, I think the answer is no, but it's quite possible that there are other people on the call who will know the answer to that better than I. Perhaps Yari, if you're on the call. Okay, Yari's not on audio. Yari, if you would like to answer in the chat, that would be helpful. And I can read your response if you would like. So let's just hold a minute for Yari's response so that we can finish this question. Okay, it doesn't appear to me necessarily that Yari's response is forthcoming, at least at the moment. I don't see a chat indication from Yari. So, Yari, if you want to type, oh, there we go, there it is, just popped up. So, Avery, just to further respond to your question from Yari, the details of actual agreements and arrangements regarding IPR and domains are to be determined. However, in my view, there has to be agreements where specific responsibilities and rights are assigned to parties, the operational communities, and the IANA operator. So in short, yes. he says that he was speaking as one trustee and not representing the trust officials. Thank you, Yari. So next, I think we have Cavus with a hand up. Go ahead, Cavus.
And very useful, constructive presentations. Just reminding ourselves, two issues. One is any actions as a result of MOU between IETF and or between RIR and ICANN are subject to community empowerment judgment within the IRP, independent review process. So they should not think that what they do is totally independent. There is a direct and a strong link between parameters, protocol, numbers, and names. Therefore, we should not make it totally separate, because names and DNS is under the total review and community empowerment. Indirectly, any actions interrelated or dependent on that from IETF, from ZIL, are also subject to community empowerment. So that is one point should be very clearly mentioned. And the second is, perhaps for tomorrow's session, you may kindly consider to further clarify the relation between customer standing committee, which monitor the activities of the PTI, and the IRP, the review panel, as well as IANA function review. IANA function review, an independent review panel on one side, CSC on the other side, and PTI, there are four entities interrelated, and it should be quite clearly mentioned how the system works for public. I don't have any problem. I understand what is it. It is clearly mentioned in the CCWG and CWG, but perhaps we make it clear because the question has been raised by colleagues. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Cavus. We will certainly take the your point about the presentation for tomorrow under advisement as we review before tomorrow's session. I would just say on the first point, what I'm understanding you to say is that this IRP, the independent review panel concept from the accountability work, applies to all of ICANN's activities. That's my understanding of it, and thus that would include ICANN's activities as they relate to the agreements that they have with other entities, including the IETF and the RIRs. So if that's kind of a clarification on the IRP, then that certainly makes sense to me, although the IRP is not really, the decision about the creation of the IRP and its details are in the accountability proposal. Anyone else from the ICG want to follow on or have responses? Any further questions, either in the chat or audible questions? Cavus, go ahead.
Yes, just a small, point of clarification. The dependency of the IANA transition relation in relation with CWG and their interdependencies with the CCWG is an issue that you have raised, or we have raised in our document quite clearly, that everything is conditioned under the workability and implementation of those issues. If some of those issues is not properly reflected implemented, so there would be some review of the situations. However, currently, there are several areas that still CCWG is considering, and perhaps out of the public comment, second public comment, there might be some revisions or some amendment that might have some impact. So that should not be excluded. So this is the issue that is still under the considerations. CCWG, to the best knowledge that they had, they did whatever they could, and they did a great job. Nevertheless, it is subject to the public comments, which might have some impact to review of the situation, which indirectly might have impact on the CWG names, which has, again, in return, impact on the IANA transition. This should be kindly observed and considered by the community listening to the webinar. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. That is a good point, and just to reiterate, as Patrick noted, after we have received public comments and the CCWG has received public comments, and after the CCWG has finalized the accountability proposal, the ICG has committed to seeking confirmation from the names community that the accountability proposal meets all of its requirements. So that will be an important step for us to ensure that the transition proposal is complete and carries out all of the wishes of the names community. Further questions, either in the chat or by raising your hand? Caboose, go ahead.
Yes, once you finish the webinar under any other business, as I mentioned two times, I have an important point to raise for your consideration. Thank you.
Okay, let's see if we have any further questions. Caboose, is your further business, is it ICG business, or it's for the broader community who's attending?
Yes, ICG, yes. Yeah, ICG
okay.
business. It is
okay,
ICG
so
business.
Perhaps
yes,
we,
Alisa,
we can then,
yeah,
close
there seems
the webinar.
Be,
and,
yeah, okay.
Well, why don't we wrap
agree,
on the
yeah,
webinar?
Once you finish,
then,
okay. I
yes,
am at your disposal. Once you finish webinar, then with ICG. Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. I just wanted to thank everyone for joining the webinar today. I think we can consider it concluded, and thank you for your questions and comments in the chat. The chat transcript and the audio recording will be made available on the ICG website after the close today, so people can review them if they would like to. And I would just say as a kind of final parting takeaway, the ICG wants to hear from you in the public comment period whether you have concerns over the proposal or whether you support it. Demonstrations of support are just as important as raising questions and concerns. So please consider commenting even if what you have to say is primarily supportive comments. We will certainly accept those and benefit from their receipt as well. So thank you, everyone. And I guess, Caboose, if you want, we can kind of end the recording. And Caboose, if you want to stay on the line, if the ICG members want to stay on the line for a couple of minutes of any other business, we can do that.
Yes, I'm waiting for your green light.
Okay. Okay, Caboose, I think we can move to your issue.
Yes, the issue is that during the ICANN 53, we had ICG, CWG, CCWG, and GAC, and so on and so forth. But we tried to do something. It's finished. But now, I understand that people are planning for CCWG at the same time as ICG. I do not.